Happy Friday night out there to everybody in WJR land, and our hearts and condolences and prayers to everybody. I don't care who you're involved with, but to our Russian, Ukrainian, and whatever friends and loved ones, shot goes out to them. Yes, this four-time Stanley Cup champion, Darren McCarty, on a Friday night. Friday, February 25, the big 2-5, the royal number in my world. Anyways, we all know that. Joined as always by my man, Sean the Legion, Eric on the ones and twos. But Sean, I wanted to start here and go to you, because before we came on the air, if people were listening, it was telethon day. And I think that the most poignant thing that I've seen, and I can agree with, is this area that we live in is some of the most generous people in the world, and that continues to go on. So you were involved. Give us a little update of what went on today, and congratulations to everybody in the WJR family for such a job well done. My hat's off to y'all.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the great folks at Salvation Army. We were out there this morning, Paul and myself and Ann Thomas, of course, and we were out there 6 to 10. And you know, Mac, it's one of those things. It's not just the work they put in today. It's the work that they put in year round. They had a goal of 1.8 million. They fell just short, but still a hefty, hefty day. $1.74 million for the Bed and Bread Club. You know, something that was started by Dick Purton many, many years ago. And we were fortunate enough to have Dick Purton on our airwaves today to be a part of it 35 years later. But $1.74 million, not too shabby. It's just, I'll echo what you said earlier. The people in this area continue to give, no matter how difficult times are, no matter, you know, inflation, recession, whatever, they continue to give.
No, and it's true, and it reminds me of when I had the McCarty Cancer Foundation when I played for my late dad, Craig McCarty, who passed away in 99, the love and support that we got for that. And just so people know, it does make a difference no matter what it is. And I think you brought up a great point. You know, we're on these airwaves and you're talking about such a media icon and Dick Purton and stuff like this. But here's the one thing, and I can speak from experience, and I speak for it to this day, is that athletes, entertainers, people that are in the media and whatever become parts of our lives. And it's not only the support, whether it's the sports team or just to turn them on TV, you support what they're into. And I think it's that compassion, right? That and that love of this area, that we love each other. And I know it's Detroit versus everybody, and sometimes, like right now, the sports are getting better, but at the end of the day, it's about the people. And when you see this, I just laugh, Sean, because how many conversations, like, you know, you don't reach a number and it's 1.8, because whoever thought, was there a conversation made that whoever thought to put 1.8, they never would have thought they got there. It's just like throwing a number out there to achieve it, right? Because, like, I'm sure when they set a million one time or a million five, you're just trying to break records and trying to do things. And, you know, that, I mean, let's be realistic. I'll tell everybody this, that line, because I'm on my way to Chicago, actually, but that I passed downtown, and that line of trucks going into Canada is real. But gas prices are real too. So the fact that it's 1.7 million, I just can't say, like I said, hats off to the continued support. And yes, Sean, you brought up a great point. It's not the fact that it's done today. Today's sort of where the spotlight shone. It's that it's done every day. And people got to understand that you've enabled something that is so important to the less fortunate in this area to really have some hope. And whoever knows, because there's always great stories just that you haven't heard of this, somebody getting that extra second chance, or just something to be on their feet. And I think as human beings, the compassion is great. Couple great things. Like I said, we're going to get into, I bullied Scott Bischoff, our NFL scouting insider, Do it all. I really bullied him into a couple segments. So we're going to get deep dive into the Lions draft, what's coming up, the combine and all that stuff. You know how I can tell, Sean, that it's DMAC comedy season?
How's that?
Because in the last segment, along with, of course, don't forget, well, I'm always going to do what's on the grill, what's in the microwave, but I'm going to add somebody to it, and we're going to say hi to Paul Vayner of Bogey's Indoor Golf up in Taos. I got to get my golf in, and that just means that I'll be probably going through the Taos area. So we're going to talk to Paul in the late part of it. But did you one thing I just wanted to touch on, Red Wings, real quick. Were you able to watch the game against the Avalanche the other night?
I did.
What did you notice? Tell me what we saw.
They aren't ready to compete at that level in any way, shape, or form. And people need to be patient. And it's going to be okay. This is going to be a process.
Uncle Sean, tell them, and that's okay.
That's
because
okay.
If you came away from there learning that that's where you can be, you should expect to be, but not for a couple years, maybe in 2 years' time, be that team, then you're on Steve Yzerman's wavelength.
You got it.
Then you just saw, what did Colorado – see, here's, Sean, what I saw. And I've seen it this year, and it's helped me understand my frustrations with this team, right? And you can only get frustrated with something when you have expectations, right? So that means – but the individual play and the confidence of individual hockey players is by far – the most, and as a fan, something that I'd like to see and that you have to have, because you have to have confidence in self as a person and as a player, and even more so, trust me, at the professional level, more so as a player than even as a person. I'm living proof of that. I know who DMAC was. Waited the last 46 to meet Darren McCarty. Anyway, so my point is what you saw is a team in Colorado who has the talent, right? I'm not saying that we aren't as talented in certain positions, but then a team that knows how to play together, right? And they showed you right off the bat, right? First period, the way that the shots on goal, or even the way that they if you've ever seen a team hem themselves in another team's end on the outside, it was the other night with Detroit and Colorado. But I'm glad, because I that's the one thing I wanted to bring up to you.
And look no further than Joe Sakic for patience, Mac. I mean, Joe Sakic has played it. Let's remember, Patrick Waugh was so frustrated at the slow play, the long game, that he just up and quit. I'm out of here. He played the long game, and Colorado has a team that's now going to compete for years, which is exactly where the Red Wings are going to be sooner rather than later.
No, that's absolutely. That's right. Well, we'll talk more hockey down the line, but we're going to get into some football when we come back here with our boy, Scott Bischoff. I think I'm going to let him a little bit off the hook. I'm not sure yet. I'll try to figure it out. Anyways, it's Friday night. It's the Enforcers Show. Thanks for joining us here, AM760 WJR. What's going on there out there in 760 WJR land? Darren McCarty, Sean Belegian, Eric Dorr. You're just singing songs of Dortch, making songs about the Dortch. If you have any others, please chime in. But I've been waiting to talk to this guy for like 2 minutes. That's all. That's it. That's all. No, I always value this man's opinion. He knows, as usually has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. So I want to talk Lions. I want to talk this little quiet time after football. I know the USFL announced and had a draft the other day, but all I have to say, and nothing against Shea Patterson, but if Shea Patterson is your first overall pick, that's probably how your league's gonna do. Quick, here, I'll ask him. I'll introduce, let's bring Scott Bischoff. How you doing tonight, buddy? Thank you for joining us. Finally had to nail you down. I mean, if I tell everybody how much money I had to pay you on the side to come on here, they'd be disgusted, but you're a good man anyways.
How are you guys?
What's up, buddy?
Doing great. Hey, first question, does the USFL get past the first year? Do we, and I guess my question is, do we see a Michigan Panthers game in the state of Michigan?
The answer is likely no and no. But, I mean, I think you make a good point to Shea Patterson. If he's if he's your first pick, it's not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the more important team in town here. And I really do think, let's start with, after one full season, I haven't talked to you at length about the job that Dan Campbell, his coach, did throughout the year, obviously learning, but what Brad Holmes did. I'm confident in Brad Holmes going into this second draft. Should I be? Is that Scott Bischoff's opinion?
It is. It is. I think there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful and to be confident about their direction. It's the first time in a long time I felt like, you know, there's a rudder on the ship, if that makes sense. It seems like there's some reasoning behind all the things they're doing. Whether we agree or disagree is another story. But, you know, a lot of the decisions that they've strung together have made sense, to me.
Scott, it's interesting because, I mean, go back to a year ago at this time, and Lord knows you and I did enough shows. It was almost like people didn't want to accept, and I'm going to evoke the name of Steve Yzerman here. People didn't want to accept the Lions were going to be playing this long game, and this wasn't going to happen in a year, and it wasn't going to happen even in a couple of years, that they were going to build. Everything that they've done in the last 12 months screams that, okay, we're going to take our time, we're going to build the foundation, and we're going to build through the draft with these extra picks. I mean, to me, it's as plain as the nose on your face a year later.
Yeah, I think there are some of the decisions they've made have accelerated what we thought was going to take a really long time. Take Amon-Ra St. Brown as an example there. You know, the sky's the limit for what he could be as a player. He looks significantly better than where they got him from. You know what I mean? Like in round four, you don't expect a player you don't expect a player to produce like the way he did. So those kind of decisions, getting Derek Barnes, and I know, you know, he didn't play a ton in year one, but I think there's some promise for him as a player. Getting the two interior tackles, getting Penei Sewell to fall to you at seven and getting that gift. I think those are all really, those are all things that we should be hopeful and thinking positively about for the future. This draft is going to be really interesting. I know they're locked in at pick two with what is likely to be an edge rusher. It's going to be really interesting to see how they value the skill sets of those two, of Aiden Hutchinson versus Kayvon Thibodeau. As far as the things that they do well as players and going forward, you know, what they think those players could be. More intriguing is going to be pick 32 and pick 34. Yeah. Pick 32, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's like, it's tough to pin down a position at, say, pick 32 of where they're going to pick. And I think that speaks volumes for the way he's been able to plug some of the holes in year one, that you have a late first round pick that you could see them go in a variety of ways, and you wouldn't be upset if they did it, because they do have some like, look at the cornerbacks that they had as undrafted free agents. Like there's just not, I know they have the second pick, so it sounds ridiculous to say it, but there's not like super glaring holes on that roster, especially on offense. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do.
Well, my question is, let's go to that 32nd pick, because, you know, I know we have the second one, but that's so intriguing because what it brings contract wise, like people to understand about the extra year. So to me, does that become more of a carrot, right, to dangle? And the example is Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. A team that trades down. So whether we take a quarterback that if we don't like him, there's a carrot there if somebody else wants it and having the pick just next to it. So I think it comes down to the only question you have to answer. It's like I say it, and I don't know what the hashtag will be, but it's hashtag wiser plan in the hockey. And it's really down to trusting Brad Holmes with which decisions. My question to you, will we learn direction? Because I figure there's two directions. We're in a fork in the road, right? And it's either you're going to go the Cincinnati way, which is draft your guys, have them under contract. Hopefully you develop them. You're not going to have a Joe Burrow, right? You're not going to get that shot for a chase, but you can develop guys that you like. Or you go the LA Rams way, where you put everything sort of in place and then you finalize it off, you know, selling the farm. And yes, maybe you have to pay that quarterback. Will that determine, yeah, obviously, like what they do, where they pick? But there's no determination yet, is there?
No, I think free agency is a big part of this. At pick 32 or 34, I would expect them to be looking heavily at the safety position. But Marcus Williams is a safety from the New Orleans Saints, and he would be, you know, he'd be a dynamic fit here with the coaching staff that was in New Orleans, and his skill set as a deeper part of the field safety, which would allow Tracy Walker to play at his, you know, in the place that's most optimal for him. So, you know, the fifth-year option that you talked about for the quarterbacks is a big thing. I think that there is a real possibility that the Lions could move out of pick 32 and might want to do that. It's hard to have those conversations this far out, though, because free agency is yet to happen. And, you know, the point I was making earlier about the lack of, like, huge – the fact that they don't have a ton of huge holes, you know, some of the holes they do have, like at linebacker – you know, this is a premium pick. Pick 32 is a premium pick. So sure. Is pick 34. I don't know how you're not going to be taking a guard. You know, if you're stuck there, you might, but you know, you could move back a little bit and still get players that you really like. So, you know, free agency is going to drive a lot of their decisions in the draft. And I think that there's a reason, you know, back to the question about Holmes, I think, and Campbell, the hardest thing I think that is, I think the thing that's most difficult to develop and get going in a positive direction is culture in your locker room. And I believe Dan Campbell already has that after year one. I do. I think that he has flipped the script on Detroit, and I think players are going to want to come here to play for him. I know that there was that whole meathead mentality about some of the things he did, but if you look at the way he coached and the results that they got late in the season, those guys bought in for him. They played for him. And, you know, I think that's the most obvious reason to be optimistic about where they are going forward is the culture that they already have in place. And now it's just adding pieces. You can add pieces. And if you have a bad culture, if you have a dysfunctional room, it's not going to really help you. I think they've already fixed that. I think that they've solved some of the problems they had maybe in that locker room. And going forward, it's adding pieces and just kind of moving in the right direction. You know, like the culture piece is a huge deal. It is. And I think they're in a good place there.
Scott, can we keep you after 7:30? Can we keep you for one more segment? Because I want to talk about number one, because you came up with a great article last week, a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, you know, so many people are talking about Thibodeau and Aiden, but might the Lions have a pick at either of them? We'll get into that. But my pipe dream is that Dean is there at 32. Am I really dependent on the pipe there? Or is there a possibility an impact linebacker could be there at 32?
I think you can find an impact linebacker at 32. I don't know that his name will be Nakobe Dean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I think that he would be a great pick at 32. I just don't. I really don't think that's going to happen.
No. Okay. I thought I'd try. Yeah, Scott. That's a funny thing. We were talking about this last week with Mike O'Hara. All these people crying about, oh, isn't it typical the Lions get picked 32? You have three of the first 34 picks. This is a glorious opportunity to change the fortunes of this franchise for years to come.
Yes. Yes.
No, and that's a good question. We'll get into Scott's article, but as Sean said, you could tell that. You could tell that Dortch is working because he needs his bag. We're gonna be right back. WJR AM 760, the Enforcer Show. Welcome back here on a Friday. Yeah, February 25th already, squeezing it into March, which means hopefully closer to golf season, but it doesn't feel like it, but I got my fingers crossed. Hey, first off, I want to send a shout out to Eric Dortch. I don't know if people know Eric Dortch produces this show. He's Dortch's alter ego. And Sean and I, we really like Eric Dortch, right, Sean? but it's Dortch.
That I works love right Eric now. Dortch.
Eric
love
Dortch
him.
Is a nice young kid raised by a nice family and stuff like this. I mean, what else would you want? But Dortch, we don't like that guy, Billy. But thanks for listening every Friday. So you can make the call on that one. And I don't know, you can't see me if you're listening on the radio, whether I'm winking or not, or I'm blinking, or my eyes are even open for that matter. Anyways, we got Scott Bischoff just hammering down. I feel like last year at this time, boys, I had like such a plethora of draft information and talk between the three of us. But this year I feel a little depleted, Scott. So go to Sean was alluding. He was radio segueing into the article you wrote, but what's going on at the top of this draft? Is it as cut and dry as we thought it was with defensive end rusher A and B, whichever one you want, or is the Lions going to get the choice because Jacksonville is going to go with an offensive lineman?
Well, I mean, so the Jacksonville thing is it's a real problem for them. You know, you draft Trevor Lawrence and he has the year he has with Urban Meyer and how bad it looks on offense for them. Last year they played with Cam Robinson as their left tackle. He signed it was a 1-year contract they signed him for. He is a free agent. Their right tackle is Juwan Taylor, who's in entering year four. And it's just, you know, I mean, behind either of those players is Walker Little, who was a second-round pick, and he hadn't really played since the end of the 2018 season. He tore his ACL in 2019, and he opted out for COVID reasons in 2020. And it's, you know, he hadn't played in almost 2 years. And, you know, he's a very raw player, but that's it. That's all you have. You have Cam Robinson, who, you know, they're not going to pay him a ton of money, but he didn't play all that well. So it just seems like it would be completely unreasonable for them to avoid protecting that, you know, protecting Trevor Lawrence and doing so with the first pick. There are multiple players who might be, who obviously will be available, but there are three I think that they would consider. There is Evan Neal from Alabama, huge left tackle. I mean, nobody's perfect in this draft. Nobody's perfect in any draft, right? But still, a significant upgrade from what they have. Just a huge upgrade. And then there's a left tackle from North Carolina State. Ike Makwunu is a mauler. This is a physical guy, a very nasty player, heavy hands. And kind of the hybrid between the two of them is Charles Cross from Mississippi. And, you know, he's a very smooth player, smooth, fluid athlete, big. It seems to me like before free agency, it would be the most reasonable thing to pencil in a tackle at pick one, which leaves the Lions picking between, you know, having the option of Thibodeau or Hutchinson. And I suppose that's a good thing, but it means they have to make that decision. And that's always tough. I don't know if that makes sense what I just said, but in those scenarios, sometimes it's easier to view it as, well, this guy wasn't available to them, so the decision for them was easier.
Right.
I think it'll be a tough choice. So, you know, pre-free agency, the only player I think that really impacts that thinking is Terron Armstead from New Orleans, and Jacksonville would really have to pay a lot of money for him. So the thing is, if you see Jacksonville in free agency go out and sign a player like Armstead, then I think edge rusher is in the equation for them. But if they don't, I would be looking at putting a tackle in, you know, in position at pick one, and then the Lions have either of the edge rushers to look at with pick two. John, I think that's what you were talking about.
Oh, totally. You know, you keep seeing okay. Evan Neal at the top of the draft. And I mean, Scott, as you well know, especially before the combine, this is where we all have to play pretend and throw the pipe dreams out there and everything. But I think this segues into the article that you had, and, you know, make sure that you follow Scott on Twitter. Scott, it's at Bischoff_Scott, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You had a great article talking about the pros and the cons for the two guys that, you know, everybody kind of assumes that the Lions may have a pick at one or the other, maybe both. But if you can, give the cliff notes of that article, because I thought it was a really good article kind of looking at the fors and the against for both of them.
Yes. So, I mean, with Hutchinson, it's you know, he's going to give you everything he's got. He's a very physical player. He is pretty refined with his hands. There's more, you know, he's not just a power rusher. He can work outside. He can work inside. Some of that is because he has to. He's had to develop as a pass rusher because, you know, on the field and watching as much film as there is on him, you know, he is not super explosive. He's plenty athletic. So I'm not saying that he's not. It's just he's not super gifted with first step quickness. So, you know, as a player, he's had to refine himself and learn how to win with his hands. Where with Thibodeau, and now we're talking just pass rushing, with Thibodeau, he's so quick off the ball that at the college level, he hasn't really had to do any of those things because he can turn, you know, he can turn at 7 or 8 yards and beat a tackle. He can beat a tackle that quickly. So there's, with him, he hasn't refined his hands. There aren't a lot of pass rush moves with him. He's either beating you outside wide with speed, and he's so quick that he can do it pretty regularly, or it's a bull rush where he's trying to run through you, and he can turn speed to power because he's big. He's 6'5", and he's 250 pounds, and he can run through you. But with him, he's going to have to develop some hand usage and some other pass rush moves than just those two things to be super effective at the NFL level. It's not saying he can't be effective. I think he'll be very effective. Now, that's as pass rushers. Now, when it comes to run defending, that's where there's a pretty stark difference between the two. And sometimes, you know, last year with Hutchinson, we have to remember he did hurt his ankle in the first game. And I think that lingered all year. There's some stuff going on with
him. Ankle injuries suck.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I know that with pick two, you don't want to draft a player who doesn't want to play through injuries and doesn't want to work through those kind of things. I think that it's, if you go back to 2020, his tape looks a little different. There are times when he doesn't look, he looks uninspired at times, I guess, to defend the run. And I think for some people, they don't, you know, there's a desire not to like that. You know, he is like a Ferrari though. I mean, you know, he turns the corner incredibly well. He's explosive as could be. It's just, you're getting, you know, on tape, you're getting players who are, it looks like they're giving you different levels of intensity and different levels of play. I'm not sure that it's totally fair to Thibodeau because the ankle injury is a much more difficult thing to overcome than I think people give it credit for. But, you know, it doesn't mean that he can't develop as a player either. I think he's being tagged unfairly at this point for what he is as a player and the issues that he had to overcome. But, you know, when you look at Hutchinson, he's a complete player. He's sort of maxed out as a player. Where with Hutchinson, you are going to need to project what he could be. And I think that makes Hutchinson maybe a touch safer, but probably a player with a lower ceiling. I'm not sure if that describes it well. But I think, in the end. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say absolutely. That describes it. One's a, you know, an F-250 and the other one's a Ferrari. But my question before I let you go, Scott, is if you are Brad Scott, you are the GM of the Detroit Lions, and it's February 25th, and I will let you change your mind if further information makes it, but who do you pick? You're the Lions at number 2.
Oh, and both of them are available?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm probably going to take Hutchinson.
Okay.
And
all right.
You know what? I've just changed my mind. I'm going to take Thibodeau.
Okay. No. So,
you know what it was? You saw Dort celebrating. So
can you see me?
Like that, I can't do this.
Right. No, but no, I think that
the point that is, I would be
goes to show how close
one.
They are. Right. That goes to show you how close graded that you have them and stuff like this. So, I'm going to talk to you again before the draft, and I'm going to ask you the same question so you're not shocked. You know which way Dort is leaning, obviously. Dort.
Yes.
But thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming off your big yacht, wherever you
Thanks,
were cruising
friend.
Last week. Thanks for putting that cocktail friend. Down. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. That's Scott Bischoff, everybody. Hey, before it's a Friday night, so you know what time it is. It's time for Mr. Positive. Greg from Shelby. Wouldn't be a Friday night without you. What's up, Greg?
Warriors, don't look to the heavens. They are looking to you. The moment is now. So what will you do? Oh, my God, D-Mac, Shawnee B., Eric Dortch. Very good show. Scotty was spot on.
Oh, that might
I
be.
I love it with Dan Campbell.
Hold on, Greg. Greg, stop. Hold on.
Okay.
Can we cut that Dortch? That might have been the most beautiful Estes Dortch
Go for it.
That I've heard. That was so good. Sean's on the floor right now laughing. He can't compose himself.
I love it. Thanks, you guys. Love you. So great show.
So,
D-Mac.
I'll ask you the same question.
You guys
question.
Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. All right, Greg. You have a good one, too. There, Sean just I dropped him. Swear, I hadn't seen that since, like, 89 juniors when the guy jumped him from behind. Oh,
you've spent 2 years trying to say my name the way Greg did in 2 seconds. That's what I love.
That was so smooth. Thank you, Mr. Positive. You always made my day. Anyways, we're going to talk to Paul Vayner, Bogey's Golf. And you know what? I got spies everywhere. Some of us might just know exactly where paradise is up in Tawas. Anyways, thanks for joining us. AM 760, Darren McCarty Show. It's just wonderful. You people at home are listening on the radio. Just don't get to see a true professional at work. And I'm not talking about you, Dortchy. I'm just talking about the timing of Sean Bolegian. It was like watching Axl Rose hit the stage at 3:30 in the morning, whenever he went on, and just right up to the microphone for that first note. Brilliant, Brad. But you know what? I'm going to combine paradise and Mr. Bill McCarthy. Watch. Eric Dortch. He does something nice because he introduces me to friends. Now, we all know that Eric Dortch has some pretty interesting friends. Let me introduce you to one, Darren McCarty Show Nation. This will be Mr. Paul Vayner from Bogey's Indoor Golf up in the beautiful, illustrious paradise of Tawas, Michigan. Paul, thank you for joining me today. And you know what? I'm going to... From what Dortch says that not only how brilliant you are, but are you going to admit to everybody here that you've been friends with him since middle school?
Well, first and foremost, appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, I'm definitely, it's been, gosh, it's really been that long. Dortch, how old are we?
Yeah, we're old enough that it's been a while, my friend.
It's been decades. Back before Dortch was cool. I was friends with him before he got as cool as he is now.
Oh, I see. Wow. You guys are a little paradise up there, but outdated. I get it. Anyways, talk to us about, because, you know, a lot of us here and you know, Eric and I always talk about golf because we love golf. Sean's a hockey player, so he automatically is a golfer. It just goes hand in hand. But talk to me about 2 weeks in Bogey's Indoor Golf. What could people expect who've never been to an indoor golf facility? Is it as simple as just whacking a ball into a screen?
Well, I mean, that's essentially it. I mean, that's what golf is, right? That and having a couple drinks with your buds. But, especially up in Tawas, you know, we're up here in the great white north here. It got 8 inches of snow last night, and my vehicle looks like an igloo. But yeah, so especially up here where there's, you know, there's a lot of golfers, there's a lot of golf, but there's not a lot of golf simulators. That's primarily a thing down in the city. So I've created a nice little space here with a couple of different commercial golf simulators and have a nice bar set up. And we come in, you bring friends. I actually have one of my varsity kids watching my place right now. I'm the varsity golf coach up here as well. So I have a couple of the varsity kids in there playing on track, man, working on their games. And I got a bunch of guys coming on later tonight. A couple different bays. So, you know, we bring 8 buddies and everyone comes in and has a great time golfing. I mean, where else? You can't play Pebble Beach, you know, in a couple hours in northern Michigan.
Well,
no, Paul, I was telling Darren before you came on, I honestly think the Tawas, East Tawas, Escoda area is like one of the hidden gems in our state. I'm familiar with everything along 23. Friel's Mark, yes. Out, shout out to them. All the way up to Oscoda. Yeah, you know what? Some of the sausages I did last week were from those guys. Great stuff. But now here's the beauty of something like this. For the people that go up there for the weekend, if the weather's bad, if it's raining, whatever the case may be, this is a great destination spot just in case, you know, you got that golf fix and you can come check out Bogey's.
Oh, hands down. I mean, not only is it, it's air conditioned, it doesn't get dark. You can, if you got to get away from the wife for, and you only get an hour, you can come here and play 18 holes instead of, maybe three. Granted, there's some great courses around here. Anywhere in the state, Saturday golf doesn't exactly move super quickly. So having that opportunity to come in with your buds and, hey, play some Keno while you're golfing. Being able to come in and play a quick round. And, it's just a lot of golf simulators, especially in more remote areas or more at country clubs, really nice golf courses. You kind of feel like you got to go in there with, with a polo on and some golf gear. Half the guys that come in here are retirees wearing jeans. And, as I said, the varsity kids come down here. I tell you what, they are infatuated with the fact that I have a golf simulator, because practice starts the March 14th. There could be a foot of snow on March 14th. I expected to start competing right away, and they can come in and play a bunch on TrackMan.
Well, I think here, talk about that as a coach and whether you've seen it or not, but you have, just in the little time that you've had it, not only the excitement of the kids, but just the development, and not only the technology of what the TrackMan offers, but just the fact that kids in the north can do this all year round. And here's the thing, and I know this because I play on one, is that they're dialed in, and the TrackMan's helped game as far as yardages and stuff like this. I think that's such a great point, but it's got to be too. But as a coach, do you think, help your varsity program?
It's incredible. Nothing short of incredible. Not only is you're not able to take those swings, but just getting that real world, that data, that feedback. There's a reason why you even see it in a lot of college sports. A lot of talent is down south, and it's because they can participate in these sports year round. In Northern Michigan, we could get our first, I got snowed out last year in Grayling, like the third or fourth week of April for a tournament. So it's, you have kids out here trying to learn how to golf, and they're out here wearing winter coats and snow pants half the time. So being able to come in here and kids come in and part of it too, it's not just, hey, you can work on your game and you can get better. It's also fostering a culture. Kids are coming down between school and basketball practice, and they're coming in, they're hitting a few, and they're having a great time with their friends. Like last year, Taos actually has a really robust history of with varsity golf. We won the state championship in 2016. A lot of those guys graduated. I only had four kids on my team last year. This year, I'm looking between 15 and 20. Kids are, golf's fun. We're having a great time. The sport is exploding, and it's becoming easier and easier to have that entry into golf. Going out to a 9-hole course, not knowing how to golf, is very intimidating. Coming here with some friends and you poking around on a mat and you're not holding everything up and you're not lost in the woods looking for the 20 balls that you lost. It's really changed the dynamic of not only, high school golfers, but just entry-level golfers in general.
I love it. So where can the listeners, the Darren McCarty Show out there, where can they find you? Or if they were up in the Taos area, how do they reserve a tee time or get a mat to take a swing?
Yes, absolutely. So you definitely go to our website, bogeystaos.com. I'm running a pretty busy Facebook page, doing Facebook Lives and showing you all the cool stuff that we have going on, including we had a grand opening week, and one of my varsity kids, who's 14 years old, won the close to the pin contest. He had a hole in one on the seventh hole of Pebble Beach.
That counts. Tell him D-Max says that counts. All right, our junior reporter, Eric Doris.
All right. No, I get to, because every week at this segment, we do the What's on the Grill, What's in the Microwave, and Sean is very familiar with this place. Paul actually shares a parking lot with this Friels. So, Paul, you go there quite a bit. I want to know from your perspective. Sean will always give us his perspective. What is the best thing in there? You're going in there just for the food. What's the thing to get?
All right. So, I'm up here right now. I'm working 100 hours a week because I don't have an employee yet. And, one, I can skip over there real quick, grab some lunch meat to get something quick. But I can tell you, I've never had a better steak. Ed Friel, the guy who owns it, has been a butcher for probably 40 years. And get a beautiful inch and a half thick, fresh cut Delmonico steak. It's the best piece of meat they have. You tell them how big you want it. Ed walks in the back, cuts it right off the cow. I'm assuming it goes back there with some kind of saw. It comes out with a beautiful inch and a half thick Delmonico steak. Mm. It's still the best steak I've ever had. They have a homemade seasoning that's amazing that they put on everything. The sausages that they make, it's all homemade. And I'm right next to it. So when you're coming into town on the south side of town, it's Friel's, it's Muffler Man, it's me, and then it's the old Moose Lodge. Right on the highway as you come into town, you can't miss us.
Oh, man, I know what I'm doing the day. I'm going to have a show up in Taos, and I'm going to go in for a steak and hit a few golf balls around and stuff like that. I appreciate your time, Paul. Best of luck, and I will definitely peek my head in when I'm in Taos next time. So awesome. Everybody out there, really check out Bogies.
Thanks, Paul.
And we'll be paying attention and following the Grayling golf team. So I think that's great. Anytime, it's like getting ice anywhere, Sean. That's what it says. The kids get to hit balls anywhere like that. You know how cool it was when we were younger, when we could get, oh, hey, we got ice at this rink because somebody canceled practice. That was a big deal. So real quick before we wind up here, Dorcher, it looks like you're in. Uncle Mitch wouldn't let Brandon go. Said it's a Friday. He gets off at 5. So what's in the microwave this weekend, bud?
Nice healthy stuff. Brought a salad. Aaron made a little some chicken for me. So just nice healthy things.
Man, she's still being nice to you.
Yeah,
all
she's
right,
still treating
cool.
me good.
Sean, what do you got on the grill, bro?
Some smoked salmon for my wife and daughter. And
do you do
pickle?
That in? Do you some do that pickerel? In tin foil with, do you put lemons and dill
you
in there and stuff?
You got it. And some pickerel that I caught from Lake St. Clair last summer.
Watch the bones. Be careful of the bones.
You got it. But I caught it.
How long do you put the salmon on for? How long do they cook the same time on the grill?
It's not bad at all. When you smoke it, it's honestly not bad at all. It was about an hour and 40 minutes. It was fine.
It was? Oh, yep. oh, really? So that, that's cool. That's interesting. Be careful of the bones and the pickerel. I can say that. So other than that, I'm on my way to Chicago. Then I'm on my way Sunday to Dallas we're playing Red Wing alumni versus Dallas Stars alumni after their game. I will be back next week and all around. So for Sean Belegian, for Eric Dorsch. Brandon Blake's not here, but thanks for joining us, guys. Love y'all. D-Mac, and I'm out.